living proof that love wins. I'm living proof that love wins. Good evening, hello, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are in the world. Welcome back to another episode of the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast with yours truly, Emma G. Now, if you are new to this platform, I'm so glad and grateful that you're here because you are in for one heck of a show. But first, let me introduce myself properly. My name is Emma G. I am a youth empowerment through songwriting coach, helping teenagers to find their abilities to express themselves healthily and safely through the lens of songwriting. I'm also a musician and a keynote speaker, but I recognize that music and songwriting are not the most conventional tools when it comes to expressing oneself, especially when you're a teenager. It's definitely not what a lot of people think of when they think of youth empowerment or youth development. So I thought, well, I know how easy it works, and there's so many other fantastic art forms that and approaches, I should say, to helping young people really step into their authentic selves and become happier, healthier humans. Tonight, I am joined all the way from her hometown. We don't actually know where her hometown is. It's a mystery. Her name is Andrea Mason. She is, well, self-certified badass, in my opinion. She has degrees in psychology, degrees in social work. She came to the States as an infant from Colombia as a way to escape the cartel. She has now dedicated her entire life to helping others, and she has just dropped her first book called Victim to Victorious. Hello, Andrea. So good to meet you. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, Emma. Thank you so much for having me. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are from. Yes, my name is Andrea Mason, and it's an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be here with you tonight. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited for our conversation because you are, you know, it's funny, the very first season that I had of the Reconnect the Teenager podcast, it was all, you know, people who were just like, yes, I'm a youth worker or a social worker or a youth advocate. And I think one of the cool things about this next season is that we've had such a wide diaspora of humans that are showing up for teenagers in very unconventional ways, because you're not just a youth worker. You are somebody who has immense experience through advocacy in the courtroom, to writing books and doing keynote speaking, but also, you know, actively helping young people in foster care and in incarceration situations. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, let's go back to your childhood. What was it like? What was there a certain point in your life as a young person that you were like, you know what? I need to do something because of what I've experienced.
Absolutely. Great question. So when I was, look, just a little background, I came from Colombia, South America, during the cartel. I had no knowledge of who my parents were or the fact that they weren't able to care for themselves, let alone myself. And so they had put me up for adoption at 11 pounds, 11 months old. So I came to the Americas in unconditional loving arms of my parents, Italian and Irish descent. And what was the greatest thing about it was at a yearly age, they were able to tell me that I was adopted. I remember them sharing a book, and it was the front cover was a young child in the storefront waiting to be chosen. And adoption equals being chosen, the greatest gift of life. Not only having the benefit of two families, one who gave you life and one who provided unconditional love, but the journey thereafter. But it wasn't always, you know, as Rocky Balboa says, Sylvester Stallone, sunshines and rainbows. It was triumphs of being adopted to give another chance at life, but also a tragedy. And the reason why is because I didn't look like my parents. Mm-hmm. At a young age, they said, well, if your mom and dad didn't want you, how are you going to love others? And that was the stepping stone, Emma, to what transpired thereafter. So that was the mental health opportunity that I decided to take the pen in my own hand and write my story of leading a legacy of love, unconditional love, to feel comfortable with the uncomfortable. Back to you.
I love that. I think, you know, I especially love the fact that you have really honed in on the fact that you're adopted. You know, I was raised with my brothers and sisters in Fiji. My mother raised me by herself, but I had a lot of friends who were adopted as well, believe it or not, in my small town of Raglan, New Zealand. In fact, one of my best friends in elementary school, his birth grandfather was the creator, the founder of the Guinness Book of Records. He knew who his birth parents were, but he wasn't raised by them. And I know that a lot of adoptees often feel like they weren't good enough for their parents. Mm-hmm. Therefore, how are they going to show up for others? How are they going to love when they, in their minds, weren't loved by their own flesh and blood? But you have kind of turned that around and recognized, well, actually, no, I am so loved that I was chosen by my parents. Yes. And I think that's such a beautiful reframe of the situations. And you've carried on that cognitive reframe in your career, it seems. What got you into, you studied both psychology and social work. What inspired those fields?
Well, I wanted to study social work because I was able to understand the cultural diversities of the world. A little bit getting a better picture of what media and society portrays about the countries and the continents that we border all around us. Ooh. You know, they only give us a snippet of what one culture or race or ethnicity perceives how their lifestyle is. They don't unveil the whole truth at certain times or in certain circumstances, along with stereotypes and stigmatism. So I wanted to step into social work for that regard. Then I wanted to marry that with psychology to understand the neurological, subliminal consciousness and unconsciousness of the mind of why we do what we do and why we don't do what we do. And I love how you had said that I was able to interpret it, because what I call in my line of coaching is changing your channel, shifting your perspective, because one's perspective and perception is one thing. But if you are able to realize that there are more options, more avenues, and just even turning a 2-degree, 3-degree angle will change your world immensely. And that is what has done for, that is what has happened to us recently, a few years ago, when we take everything for granted and then everything changes in the snap of a finger. Back to you.
I love that so much. You talk about changing the channel. I am all about changing the song. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, I think we get so consumed with this idea that, like, we're the lead character and everything needs to be the way that it's going because this is how I'm experiencing life. When in actual fact, you know, we have the opportunity and the ability every day we wake up to change the channel, to create, you know, to create our own song, to decide for ourselves how we want to live in that day. I love that so much. Cool. So let's go back to, you know, you've gone to university, you've studied. Why is youth development and working, you know, working with at-risk young people in specific, because I feel like that's more what you're gravitating towards. Why is that such a calling card for you?
Because I kind of was able to interpret our life into segments. So what they usually say in psychology and social work, in the neurological of development, of personal development, is the first 7 years, something unfortunately may tragically happen or may dramatically happen. It really, you know, matter which way you're looking at the coin. And then the next 7 years, 7 to 14, is where we're kind of coming into our own, establishing and, you know, facing the cliques of different groups on finding our niche, where we fit in, and people pleasing, peer pressure mentality. And then the next 7, from 14 to 21, is where we really should, some of us do, come into our own, to what I have established upon my journey this last year in 2023, what I call creating our own identities through life's adversities. Because Matthew McConaughey, a very well-known American actor, has stated, when you find out who you don't want to be, then you're carving out who you truly are. And that was paraphrased, of course, and I really took a toll into that because, you know, during my career, I was just always looking for another way to enhance the quality of life, trying to figure out, all right, well, now that social group I was in, I'm kind of over that. It's kind of getting mundane. It's kind of getting old. What other new quality, responsibilities, or attributes can I adopt and then adapt to, or what do I want to refrain from? This is not the path that I chose with this social network that I've created amongst myself, whether, well, at the time for me, it was in person, but now it's virtual, where you can just click a button and speak to somebody on the other side of the world. But the beauty of it, of technology, is that it's either a tool or a weapon. And what I've utilized when the world completely changed, that I realized people across the world that I've virtually connected with, I have more of a connection, deeper understanding for than my own group that I've lived my life with.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
That's wild. it's fantastic. I mean, I think, you know, especially in the last 10, 15, 20 years, there's been a real, acceptance or support for helping people step into their own and recognize their unique factors, right? I often say I fly my freak flag proudly. And I think, you know, when you do that, when you allow yourself to do that, you can, you know, find your tribe, if you will, more effectively, because, you know, but your tribe might not be in your hometown, like, and that's okay. And they might not be the same age as you or the same ethnicity as you or the same anything as you. They might just both, you know, you both really, really like, I don't know, apples and crackers together, apples and cheese together, whatever. Right. That was a weird example, but I'm hungry. Can you tell?
Yes. No,
but so I love that you say that. I want to take a quick sort of diverge to the 2 degrees to the left that you were talking about, and sort of nail in on something that you said, which I thought was quite interesting, with regards to Matthew McConaughey's saying.
Yes.
Of, you know, so because I feel like there's it's often so often we sort of look at these famous people and, you know, think they know better than me. They are wiser than me. They have, you know, they have the platforms that I don't. Therefore, they, you know, I want to listen to them when it comes to, you know, life advice or whatever. But you are somebody who, you know, I don't mean no harm. You were born in relative obscurity. In Colombia, you moved to the States at 11 months and 11 pounds, and you have built this network around you throughout your life that has meant that, you know, your voice and your authority when it comes to self-knowledge, self-awareness, and and the importance of mental health and well-being is, you have a voice that is worthy of taking note of. A lot of young people, however, don't have that toolkit.
Right.
How is it that we can help as parents or caregivers or teachers help our young people recognize that even if they're not Matthew McConaughey, that their voices matter as well?
Yes. I mean, it starts with mindset because you can either reflect or deflect what's coming at you. And we have a choice. That's what we have to recognize. We have a choice every single second of our life. People have choose to tune in. People chose to binge watch on Netflix. Mm-hmm. People choose to, you know, self-comfort and heal themselves through food. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. But what I've learned in my life, you know, when I worked with Les Brown, you know, he was a fellow adoptee and he was able to find that we are kindred spirits, to his words. because we found ourselves through failure. And I remember him coaching with me, and he said, Andrea, you know, 11 pounds of greatness. They didn't know then, but they know now. And to have now virtually spoken on every continent, in orphanages, with the elite global ambassadors, kings and queens, and platforms, and have this great following. Had you asked me that to do that when I was age 15, I would have laughed in your face and put my hand up and said, go. My whole life, up until recently, I was behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz, if you will. Mm. I was always making sure everybody was taken care of. I was always putting other people's needs before mine, saying yes to them and no to myself first. And it really, the aha moment, which I really encourage our audience to be mindful, is to listen to your body and listen to your emotions. Don't let your emotions control you, but also have the power of forgiveness. Why? Mm. Because when I spoke to Les Brown, and as him coaching me, he said, well, Andrea, what is your biggest fear? And I said, confidently, wholehearted, straight face, I fear success. Mm. And he said, well, that's pretty bold. I said, you know why? Because I failed at everything I've ever done in life. I had to work 10 times harder in school. On the athletic field, I had to grind because I was of petite stature and work hard. I was the person that you would find at the office 2 hours early and 2 hours late to make sure all my T's were crossed and my I's were dotted. Why? Because that was my name on it, my brand. You know, and it's important when we are adolescents, we are constantly pulled left and right. What's good, what's wrong? Internet's telling us this, social media is telling us this. Our heroes and sheroes, who really are different from our era, our heroes and sheroes are people who are just like us. Mm-hmm. They just have discipline, direction, and drive. And when you put those three D's into your vocabulary, you are just as same as us on this platform, as Les Brown, as Michael Jordan, as Eminem. But the difference is they never gave up.
Yeah.
We can not. One of the key phrases I've adopted as I released my book, as I have spoken on these platforms, is dreams do not have deadlines. They create destinations.
Oh.
And if we are able to embrace that, then the journey is just that more smooth.
Yeah. No, I think you hit it on the head. You know, success is scary, especially when you are somebody who's been told or have experienced failure, but you've been or you've been told that, you know, that you're not good enough or that you're not worthy, or who are you to... What is it? Who are you to fly? Oh, my love, but who are you not to? Right? And that's something that I'm particularly interested in for you, because of the wide diaspora of young people that you've worked with, you know, with incarcerated parents, with unhoused folk, with domestic abuse survivors, even, you know, so far in the court system. Mm-hmm. How has that journey been for you, and how has that shaped your current worldview when it comes to, you know, youth advocacy and helping this next generation?
Right. So my family was of you know, great wealth. They were both successful bankers. They have retired at 55 young and lived their best life. But it's not all about that. Mm. You know, one of the things I have to remind the parents, the caregivers, the coaches, the mentors, and the teachers out there, the authoritative figures, remember where you came from. Mm-hmm. When leaders can remember where they came from, that's when they lead the best, lead from the back. I was shoved into lockers, thrown into trash cans, forced to eat my lunch in the bathroom stalls to avoid ridicule and reprise, whether it be on the playground or at the lunch table. And I didn't want to address it to my parents. because then I would feel like I disappointed them and I really did a disservice to them as them living this great life. And here I am struggling to get by. And so what I was realizing is I was people pleasing everybody. And it goes back to what has launched me to connect with Les Brown as when I heard it on the social media feed, when the world changed, are you going through it or are you growing through it? And that's what it was really for me. I would delve myself into a dark room and throw on the universal language of my headphones, music, anything from Beethoven to, you know, old school heavy metal, hard rock to hip hop, to, you know, reggaeton. I found myself in everybody I connected with, whether it was a personal connection or an interpersonal connection. And that's what I aim to do as a speaker. I find myself in every connection. I have the ability to connect with somebody for only about maybe 30 seconds to a minute and then be able to recite their story and say, you know what? I've known what you've been through. I've been there. I've done that. I'm an empath. I'm a living testimony that the healing power of forgiveness can lead you to and achieve personal freedom. Louis B. Sneed said, the best quote that I remember is, to forgive someone is not only to set a prisoner free, but to only realize the prisoner is you. Why? Because you gave the power to somebody else to judge who you are.
Oh, say that louder for the people in the back. I love that. Okay, so here's a really, really important question because, you know, you've mentioned music a couple of times as the thing that you go to, and you've definitely hit on some of my personal favorites, so thank you very much.
Yeah,
like you've dove into my teenage history right now. but no, I mean, when it comes to like setting the scene as a speaker and as, you know, somebody who connects with families, et cetera, what is the song? Or maybe it's more than one. What is the song when you're walking on stage that you have blasting through the speakers?
Well, it started off with Alicia Keys' This Girl Is On Fire. That's when I got dubbed the voice, global voice from the African International TV radio station. Then when I went to the next stage, people are going to kind of wince. It's Forever by Drake, Eminem, Lil Wayne. It's that compilation because there's a line in there that Drake says, it's going to escape me, but it says, y'all got a record deal, but I did it without one. Mm-hmm. I was, even though there was journey walkers along with me that have held me up, in the end, fade to black, I'm doing the work. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving up. Because every time I fail, it's another step forward. Because if you don't fail, they say it, you're not even trying. And that's, you know, I grew up with 7 cousins that were male. I was never in the kitchen you know, you come from an Italian Irish descent, you figure she's in the kitchen making all this. Nope. I was a tomboy outside throwing a quarter pass, going down wide right and scoring touchdowns. I was the one in the hoodie and the, you know, sweatpants and just chilling. And then what I used to do to escape was my aha moment of independence was when I got my own vehicle. And would just cruise to music, anything from Lowrider to We're Not Gonna Take It, to I'm dating myself, to like,
you know. Nothing wrong with Twisted Sister. Nothing wrong with Twisted Sister at all. I see you.
Know? And then going to, you know, like my biggest song now was Emil Sade, when she goes, Read All About It. My friend dedicated that song when I launched this journey, and it just really struck a chord because she talks about, you know, if we're not going to tell the truth, then what's worth fighting for? And I've always been about authenticity. I've always been about integrity. And a lot of people couldn't take it. They didn't like it. Well, why you got to tell the truth all the time? Because that's how I was raised. But if I didn't get the truth, it was a jagged pill every time. If I didn't get the truth, I wouldn't be where I was today.
I love that. And you've mentioned so many things I want to talk about, and I recognize we're running slowly out of, like, quickly out of time. But I want to make one more quick question before we sort of lead people to your book. You mentioned about, you know, obviously the Les Brown very well-known quote of don't just go through it, but grow through it. I think that's something that a lot of people struggle to conceptualize. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to, when it comes to that, especially for young people, especially in an age where, and I don't know how many, you know, high schoolers you're currently working with, but, mm-hmm. you know, I see it on the daily, yes. of these young people who are so stressed because they're doing wrestling, they're doing music, they're doing lacrosse, they're doing the chess club, right. all at the same time, whilst mm-hmm. also trying to, you know, apply for colleges. And it's overwhelming and it's scary. And right. the mere idea of failing something mm-hmm. makes them feel as if they are never going to be successful.
Right. And we have that misconception, Emma. Society says, let's multitask. Well, I was the number one master of multitasking until I erased myself out of the equation. Mm. And yes, you want your children to be active. You want to be involved. But when is there time for family time? You have kids raising kids. You have screens raising families, babysitting mm-hmm. children. When was the last time, and for the audience, put down when the last time you actually sat down with your caregiver, guardian, parent, or even a family member for 30 minutes without the cell phone in front of you, binge watching, and having all the distractions? Spoiler alert, several years ago, I unplugged completely. Even to this day, with the exception of my business, I don't watch TV. I don't listen to radio. I don't listen to newspaper articles, even if that's a thing. Anything I do is by pure choice. I have a YouTube playlist of everything from Yanni to, like I said, Eminem to Jay-Z to DMX. I'm versatile in that. I'm also a musician myself. I started playing the piano, hearing it first, then reading the music at age 4. Hmm. And I can play the drums if I listen to it. I could still do that. But what I believe is missing is patience and precision. Think about it. For the Montessori schooling systems now, they find the passion of an individual and then incorporate all the extra elements in it. Let me give you an example, kind of like a trade school. If you love, I'm a diehard Cars fan. I love Cars. Talk about, you know, not meeting the bill, but I love it.
I love restorations.
I've been watching some episodes, like I said, Investing in Me, restorations of old cars, hot rods, and so forth, right?
No, I love it. I studied to be a mechanic for 3.5 years.
Oh, all right. Well, then there we go. One of my trades when we did the vocational in schooling was to be a mechanic. And my parents were like, no, that's not happening, you know? But it didn't steer me away from loving it. Mm. And that's what I want to keep in mind. Sit down with your family. Share your dreams. I did a speaking keynote, and I'm going to give a 3-point prong tip. Listen to your child and learn about their passions. Number 2, allow yourself to get in down and dirty with that industry, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to really see if that's something you really want rather than the shiny objects that present mm-hmm. in that industry. Do volunteer work, do apprenticeship, or do an internship. Mm-hmm. And then finally, 3, find out why you want to do it. Is it for the money? Is it for service to others? Or is it a true passion? When you tap into those 3 areas of understanding, sharing your dream with your family, understanding the good, the bad, and the ugly of it, and then asking yourself, am I willing to make an investment, not only of finance, your time, your money, your passion, and your health? If you're able to do that 3-pronged questionnaire for yourself, you have already started choosing to press play, plan life according to you, and create a vision for yourself.
I love that. I love that so much, Andrea.
This is my tagline, because I know we're kind of pressed for time. Follow your heart, not the herd nor the hurt, for success and joyfulness are on the other side. I'm a living testimony.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Andrea. Thank you for your time. Of course, you know, there's so much more to you. So if you are listening to this on your Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, or you're watching this on YouTube, by all means, please check the link below, because you can head to Amazon now, grab a copy of Andrea's Victim to Victorious book. This has been a fantastic conversation. I'm so excited to know you. I'm excited to hear more about you and learn more about you and grow with you, because, you know, this growth mindset, success is on the other side. I'm here for it. Thank you so much, everybody.
And I would love to gift, if we have a few moments to gift everyone, reconnect with your teenage self. Email me with the link below and I will provide you a complimentary connection so you can press play on your life, plan life according to you.
That's very kind. Thank you so much. And thank you again, everybody who's listening tonight, to this morning, this afternoon, wherever you are in the world. Until next time, friends, be kind, be safe, and make sure that you live every day on purpose. See you later.
Hey, divas and gentlemen. My name is Dee, and I want to talk about my girl, Andrea. From the time that I met Andrea, she has been pure at heart. Every conversation we had just leading me with great guidance. I remember at one point in time, I was stuck trying to construct my mission statement for my business, Diva I Am, which is a motivational consulting business. And Andrea led me straight to the answers. She led me straight to the answers that I've been seeking for a great summer time. And forever, I will be grateful for the friend that I have acquired in Andrea. And I continuously pray for her and her blessings, for her and her family. I pray that she connects with you and she helps you as well, the same way she helped me and guided me straight to my destiny. I pray that you are blessed with the beam of light that shines through Andrea. Andrea, keep doing what you're doing, girl, because I see you, and I know he does too, and he's going to propel you in a way that you never seen coming. In the name of Jesus, I put all good in his hands, and I'm grateful of him for you. Hey, divas and gentlemen.
You thought you knew it all, and everything was certain. Sitting high upon your throne, so comfortable, assertive. But chaos has a habit of testing who you are. You are. We rise up now. Let to the ground, burn it to the ground, and we rise in the ashes. We rise from the ashes. Decision is the key. Will you rise?